welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a very interesting and wonderful show today. We're going to be speaking with Dr. Elizabeth Meacham, and we're going to be talking about her book, Earth Spirit Dreaming, Shamanic Ecotherapy Practices. And boy, folks, we need this now. And the practices she talks about in her book are easy to do, easy to follow. You don't have to go buy anything necessarily. Just do it, and it's going to make you feel a whole lot better in this time of disruptive energy. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that's been holding you back, but you guys know I always ask that question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also author 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. My guest today, Dr. Elizabeth Meacham, is an environmental philosopher, teacher, healer, spiritual mentor, and musician. She is the founder and co-director of the Lake Erie Institute for Holistic Environmental Education. Her workshops, training courses, and individual mentoring sessions offer initiatory experiences that reflect her long-term engagement as a student of the Earth and the cosmos. She lives in Cleveland, Ohio, and you can check her out at her website, and that's shamanicecotherapy.com. Again, that website, shamanicecotherapy.com. Welcome, Liz.
Hi, Monique. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great having you. Excellent book, Earth Spirit Dreaming. Why did you call it Earth Spirit Dreaming?
That actually title was given to me by my spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
I started the book. It's just an ecotherapy book. This was before I ended up having my unexpected shamanic awakening that happened during the time that I was writing it. So it's the first title. was Reconnect with Earth. And then I was in the process of writing it, given the title Earth Spirit Dreaming, and I didn't 100% know what that meant. But then as the practices opened up, I was given this 3-step method for connecting with the earth and spirit to be visioning from a much more interconnected place in our lives.
Okay. Now, you said that you wrote this book during your shamanic awakening. Can you share some of that with us so that folks understand what a shamanic awakening could look like?
For me, so some people pursue shamanism as a path. They're attracted to shamanism. They go study it. I was resistant to shamanism. Approach avoidance, curious about it. But I was really had my mind set on this professor path. And I got my PhD, and I was professor teaching for quite a while. And during that time, I had my own committed eco-psychology practice, nature practice, eco-spirituality practice. So I was doing a lot of meditating in nature. And over time, quite unexpectedly, the earth started communicating with me through my intuition, different ways to be in these meditations. And I started having awakenings to different realms of reality and experience than I was expecting or than I had had in the typical Western framework. And mm-hmm. as I spent a lot of time thinking about what to call that, and it really fit shamanism,
yeah.
the aspects of shamanism.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really fits the word shamanism, and I just see a path unfolding where you're truly entrenched deeply into the work that you're presenting to the world, and you truly walk your talk, and that definitely comes through in your book. So for those who don't know, why don't you explain to us what shamanic ecotherapy is? What does it consist of?
So shamans in general tend to be earth connected, and then they work with what we would think of as the vibrational matrix of life, working with energy. You do Reiki, and you're an energy healer, so you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And also going into really what are light trance states, in my case, to connect with spirit helpers. So those mm-hmm. are the primary aspects of shamanism. And then using that skill to find information for people and to do healings for people working in non-ordinary reality,
okay.
which is where we go when we use the drum and go into trance state and travel into these other spaces. So shamanic ecotherapy, my shamanic practice, I spend a lot more time preparing with I don't know actually, but from what I've, the shamanic people that I've encountered, I spend a lot more time with people as I'm working with them, focusing on their own earth connecting practices.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. the ecotherapy part is how our lives heal from connecting with the earth. And I also think these sensitivities wake up from waking up to our bodies and waking up to our nature sensitivities. I think it helps support the shamanic experience and ground it.
Okay. Now, there are a lot of spirit helpers, if you will, connected with the earth. There's the divas, there's the fairies, there's the mineral kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Do you incorporate all of this into your work?
Yes, you know, lately I've been working with a lot of people in the UK, and I've even met some people that I brought on as faculty at my institute, Lake Erie Institute,
mm-hmm.
and they do tend to be more connected with fairy realm than a lot of people that I've met here in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
so I'm learning more from them. I definitely work with ancestors of land, nature spirits, devas, mineral spirits, or whatever we want to call them, the elemental energies. So I work with a lot of in the earth realm, and then also a lot of spirit helpers. I support people to connect with their ancestors.
Mm.
Yeah, and I might be working with people, and, you know, some mediumship comes into shamanism for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how, you know, you can be a part of many different energies as you embrace your spirituality. It's just not, you know, like a tunnel vision type thing, and it's not mm-hmm. dogmatic. If you're open, you can bring in all different types of energy. Now, shamanism connected to earth energy, the spirits, the divas connected to earth energy. How or do you interact at all with the energy of the indigenous folks, the American Indians, the Pawnee, the Hopi Indians? Is any of that intertwined, any of their practices or beliefs intertwined within your work?
So part of why I was resistant to this sort of earth-based spirituality that shows up this way with drumming is because I studied anthropology in my undergrad, and I was very sensitive to cultural appropriation.
Uh-huh.
So no, I do not use any practices specifically from indigenous people of the Americas. I do use practices from the indigenous people of the British Isles. That's where I'm from.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of what happened to me just was taught to me by the earth and spirit guides, and some of them do tend to look like common practices among indigenous earth-connected people. And what I've come to see as I work more with my students is when we begin to connect deeply with the earth, there are a lot of commonalities in what emerges for us and how to celebrate that and how to foster it and what kinds of ceremonies and rituals start to emerge.
Okay. Now, twice you've mentioned the word drumming. Explain to us what a drumming ceremony for you would look like.
So I do a lot of shamanic practitioners focus on leading the healings for the people themselves. I myself am trying to teach people to fish so that they can have their own connections. So when I'm doing ceremonies or teaching, I'm really focused on teaching them each piece of the sacred ceremony, working up to the journey. So I do pretty long ceremonies, focusing a lot on preparation. We might have like a 90-minute or a two-hour ceremony. Sometimes it's a whole day or a whole weekend, if I can get them here in Ohio. But if I'm online, it might be an hour and a half or two-hour ceremony. And I do a lot of preparation leading up to the drumming. Well, recently I led a vibrational healing with the drum ceremony. So that we ended at a different place where we were using the drum for vibrational healing. But often we're leading toward a shamanic journey or a couple of them. But I spend a lot of time first. I'm all about preparation because in the West we tend to want something really quickly. And we're just, our consciousness is so often so far off from where we need to be to really have these other kinds of connections. So I spend a lot of time first getting people in their bodies, tuning into the senses of their bodies, becoming aware of the vibrational field of their body, connecting with the land where they are, connecting with the land spirits, creating relationships with the nature beings that live right there around their house, who so often want to be relating to us and helping us, but we forget or we're not aware.
Yeah.
It's my whole job, and I forget all the time. I'm like, too much to do. Got to answer Facebook. Got to do this. Got to do that. And I'm like, wait a minute. That tree's trying to give me a message here.
Yes.
So the drumming is really just a part of it when I'm doing a teaching ceremony. And then when I'm doing my trainings, I train people to use the drum and the rattle themselves to go into trance states.
Okay. So does the drum or the rattle actually help call, in quotes, if you will, the spirits and the energies to be present and work with and through people?
So, this, you know this from your work, the spirit, they're all there. We're the problem. So what it does is it helps us, I use the drum and a lot of singing also to change the vibrational frequency of people's bodies. Like, we tend to be so heavy.
Yes.
That I teach people to raise their vibrations measurably. You can measure this. This has been measured, how you change the magnetic frequency of your body so that we're not so dense, so that we can communicate with the spirit realm. So I teach people singing and how to use singing in their body to clear these heavy, dense energies and clear the BS, the belief systems, the things that are keeping us really weighted and closed. And then what the drum does is it actually, in the rattle, you do it at a certain beat where it changes the brainwave frequency. So you switch from your rational thinking into your imaginal thinking. It creates more of a dream state brainwaves.
Could you send some of this to the politicians here and in the UK? I'm talking all sides.
I do every single day. I send it to them. I don't know if they're receiving, but every morning, yes, I send them, raise your vibrations, raise your vibrations. I don't think they're listening to me, Monique.
Well, you know, well, you said an interesting point that you send it, and so the energy is there, and then it's up to whoever the energy is sent to open and receive it or just let it sit out there. So, you know, it's all about being aware and going deeper within ourselves. Now, you'd mentioned that you came up with a practice, I guess, called the method, and it's three steps to the method. Tell us about that.
So it's earth connecting, spirit connecting, and dream connecting. The earth is the really getting into our earth senses and being able to connect with nature the way that I believe we're meant to be and are able to as humans. The second is working with what we think of as a spiritual realm, but I really think is an aspect of everyday life, the vibrational realm. A lot of people are not aware that they're sending and receiving in vibrational space. So I spend a lot of time teaching people how to be in tune with their energy body and how they're interacting with people in their lives in vibrational reality, and how much power we have from the stories we're telling ourselves to impact our own lives and our health and our families and our communities and the world, I really try to teach them the power of working in vibrational reality.
Okay.
So I have a thing that was given to me by spirit guides called karmic eddies. And it's a way of working with our stories every minute, every moment, every day. What story am I carrying around and how is this sending, what am I sending into the world?
Okay, well, tell us more because that was a question I was going to ask you about directly, the karmic eddies. What is it and how can we?
Karmic eddies.
Yeah.
So,
use it.
It was given to me. I meditate with one river, the Chagrin River here, who's a very important support for my work, guide for my work. And I'm just taking a minute now because I live right near her and I feel her tuning in as I'm speaking.
Okay, cool.
No, I'm slowing down.
Excuse me.
Just
everybody just breathe while she's making that connection.
Yes, she's making contact here. So I spent quite a lot of time watching the river, one of my primary teachers, about how to be in life and understand patterns in our lives. And I was shown that just like the river, our energetic body flow goes into certain areas, like an eddy in a river where we're in a little bit of a whirlpool, or part of our energy pulls off to the side, you know, how rivers are moving around and being diverted. And that this isn't necessarily good or bad, but that it's something to develop awareness of, especially as we prepare to do shamanic work, because we are sending our spirit out to things into the world and in our lives and in our thought forms. And often we're not aware of where those things are. Some of them are so old and habitual that we do them automatically without thinking about it. It could be resentments or fears or things that we've cleared karmically already that we don't need to keep going back to again and again and again. So as we vision for our lives and humanity, the dreaming part, as we're dreaming our lives, I was shown that it's very important that we bring as much of our spirit and energy back to this task as possible. So even if right when we're done with the ceremony, we're going to go back to all those places where we put our spirit into all these different eddies of our life river, that for the time that we're doing the shamanic work, we want to know what these are so we can be choiceful about pulling that energy back. And a lot of times I find a lot of times it's family stuff, old family stuff, new family stuff, recent family stuff. And some of this work is really the sacred work of our lives, ancestral healing, taking care of our children. When we're doing that healing, we're also doing healing for the world. So I do a lot of exercises around karmic eddies and working with mandalas to learn what our karmic eddies are. And it really turns into a fair amount of like grief work. Because it's hard to explore where we're really invested in holding on and not wanting to let go without often doing grieving and getting into some intense ancestral healing.
Interesting, because we get so caught up in the external energy that's going on, whether it's you perceive it as negative or positive, we just don't pay attention. And I think it's really important to pay attention. Folks, we're speaking with Dr. Elizabeth Meacham. Her book, Earth Spirit Dreaming, Shamanic Ecotherapy Practices. It's a very easy read, folks. It's just over 200 pages, a lot of exercises in it that we're going to talk about a few in a moment. And it shifts your consciousness. So if you're caught up in the energy of what's going on in the world or even in the United States right now with the elections coming up and the Black Lives Matter and the this and the that and the other, this book will help bring you back to center. So check out the book and do check out her website, shamanicecotherapy.com. excuse me, Liz. Talk to us about a couple of the practices in the book and how they can help us balance our energy in this time of strong currents moving through the earth.
Oh, it's hard to be balanced right now. Really
well,
hard.
Well, yay, thank you
hard.
For being honest about that, you know, because other people say,
really
oh,
hard.
It's just this or this, but so thank you for sharing that. But what can we do? Even though it's hard, what can we attempt to do?
It is hard. And I have felt since March, when a lot of the things really hit with the virus, that more than ever the earth wants to guide us and support us and teach us. The nature beings, they really feel compassion for us. We are in a squeeze box right now.
Yes.
So some of the practices at the beginning of the book and earth connecting are very simple, like just having a nature being near your house, whether you live in the city or not, and just taking 3 breaths each day to stop and put your hand on that tree. Just, I call it eco-mindfulness, just becoming mindful that we're interconnected, that we're being supported, that's available for us every day. So some of them are really simple, like just walking barefoot for a few minutes, feeling the earth. There's exercises in there which are really great right now for how we give our grief, fear, pain, anxiety back to the earth and let the earth compost that energy. We don't have to be carrying that around. Just really let it go, give it back to the earth. And that is one thing I learned from a friend of mine who was adopted by a Lakota family, is how much Westerners hold on to our feelings. We don't give them back. And he's taught me some ceremonies for how we give, let those feelings go. So just standing with your feet on the ground and letting some of those intense fears and anxieties that we may have just flow right back into the earth. And then also with Earth Connecting, I teach in my courses people to develop their own, create their own set of sacred stones. I really believe in working with rocks and mandalas and circles as sacred symbols for self-development and spiritual development. So one of the things is you develop this set of sacred stones. It's in my book, and I teach it in my classes, and how you can work with them to help ground you and to teach you and to guide you and really be, especially if you're living indoors or if you're in the city. I happen to live in the country, so I have a big circle of rocks right at my home in the woods. But for people that don't have that access, to have a little mini hinge or sacred circle that you can make on your own every day and just do that grounding work, it's really nice. You can carry them around in your pocket and have them in your car, and it's just you really create a relationship.
Well, do you have to go out and spend a lot of money on these gemstones online, or can you just find
rocks
as you're walking down the street?
I'm so not a buy your gemstones gal. I'm like, go to the creek. These are like deeply connected beings. They live right there in the creek. They haven't gone through the machine or been to the store. Just pick up any old rocks. And I lead my students, and I say in the book, how to begin communicating with the rocks. Ask which ones want to support you in your journey, and you learn to start hearing, yeah, I'd like to be involved. And then sometimes they're like, I'm done with you. Throw me back out. Or I want a couple of times my favorite rocks that have been really meaningful, these really important life-changing vision stones for me. I'll be at a friend's house. They're like, we're staying here. I'm like, what? I can't live without you. And people laugh at me all the time because I say rocks are so relational. We really don't think of rocks as relational.
Oh, but they are beings just like we are beings. They don't breathe as we do. But I don't even consider them inanimate beings. I consider them.
No, they're beings. Yeah.
Yes.
With and consciousness. The ancient earth star consciousness, they're really powerful to learn from and relate to.
If we would take the time to learn, you know, it's just amazing how sometimes we're just so caught up in whatever's on TV or, you know, the gossip, whatever, or internet sites, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or, you know, something worse. And how could you get worse? But anyway, that's a different topic. we get so caught up in that, we forget to come back to center. We forget to come back to who we are as spirit. Mm-hmm. If you had one thing that you could share with someone on how just to kind of lay off the external buzz that's going on and, you know, look inward a little bit, what would that be? How would you help a person with that?
Then the first thing I teach people is how to start being in our heart minds. A lot of time, people that grow up in the West, we're holding our consciousness in our brains. So I just encourage people, and I do it every morning. And, you know, I'm at home with kids, and it's busy and crazy and more challenging than usual to stay centered because I'm used to my quiet time. But I'm really trying to just stay in my heart mind, in my heart, stay in my that seat of intelligence, and also really stay embodied in general. Trust my gut, feel into my gut, because that's how we sniff out if we're doing something that's good for us or not. Because our heads will keep us on the rat race and on the treadmill of keeping up with everybody and keeping up with the Joneses and keeping up with the internet and doing, making, burning, trashing, creating. And then when we're in our hearts, and I really encourage people a lot lately to sink into their pelvis and feel their pelvis connecting with the earth. Then our bodies, they say, oh, you're off base. I think our bodies really know. They know when we're on or off.
Oh, yeah. Our body is our intuitive antenna as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we're talking
so that's
to each
the,
other.
Yeah.
I feel where you
main thing I tell people, just try to stay in your body and really seat in that heart mind.
Yeah, be in your body, folks, not away, be in your body. Now, Elizabeth, you are a professor. How did you become a shamanic practitioner? Some people say, oh, well, that's really weird. You know, you went from being, you know, straight and narrow high education to more energy work.
Well, I had a rock tell me, Monique.
I love it.
There's no simple way to say this. My first, like, also, I was born, I will admit, I was born very clairvoyant. I mean, I had a lot of spirit traffic as a kid, but I had shut that down for the most part by this point. But I was sitting in my room, and I read Jung a lot, Carl Jung. So I had worked with mandalas for a lot of years, and I had this, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was sort of just feeling led to put these stones in circles. I didn't really understand why. I hadn't done any shamanic journey or anything. And I was in my room, and I'd meditated for years and years and years and years, like 30 years. So I was meditating, and I had the circle of stones, and I had a stone that I picked up from someplace near here in Lake Erie called Kelly's Island, where there are very, first of all, there's amazing petroglyphs up there, like 4,500-year-old petroglyphs, but there's also a lot of fossils. So I had brought back this fossil rock with consent, of course. I'd received consent. And it talked to me.
Okay.
This was my first big, like, uh-oh, something really weird is going on. It said, you're living in a dream.
Ooh.
You are living in a dream.
And you're responsible.
You are in a movie, and you need to wake up and realize that you are writing this movie. I mean, rocks don't talk in words like that, but that was the point. And then that was the first thing that happened, and then I started taking longer, more time outside and just sort of following my intuition. And a lot of, I was told 5 years ago, in last June, I was doing a full day sitting in nature. I was told, your job is to sit with people in circles of rocks. I was like, no, my job is to get up to the university and teach my classes. Which led to a shamanic awakening / total battle between my spirit and my ego about what my life was going to be about, which constituted about a year of a pretty serious breakdown. It looked like a breakdown. It was a dark night of the soul. So it was an awakening and a beautiful thing that happened, but there was also a lot of breaking down that happened in my life at that time of what I thought I came here to do, what I thought I was supposed to be doing. And my higher self was like, nope, we came here for something else, and the time is now. So there's been a lot of integrating, a lot of integrating with that.
Well, it's amazing how spirit will definitely get your attention when you're energetically ready, you know, for a shift. And thank goodness you listened, because without you listening, we wouldn't have your beautiful body of work in this book and the other work that you do. So talk to us a moment about your training courses and what you offer to the public to help them raise their vibration as we navigate this very interesting time of dark energy.
I do a lot of teaching in different formats. I love to teach. I love to work with people over time. I love to see the way, how wise people are. And if they're just seen and acknowledged and given the opportunity So often they'll say, oh, I felt that way as a kid, and then nobody supported it, so I shut it all down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like a kid in a candy store, like, I'm not crazy because I hear these things and I see these things. No, that's your natural wisdom. So I like
mm-hmm.
to work with people over time. So here in Ohio, I do a, well, now it'll be a 12-month eco-psychology training program where I train ecotherapists. And then online, I teach shamanic ecotherapy. So those are, I teach the ecotherapy, the earth connecting, but then I also teach how to use the shamanic elements in your own life. So I do 3-month online immersions, which is just exploring the three steps of earth, spirit, dreaming. You do one month on earth, 1 month on spirit, 1 month on dreaming. And then next year, I'll start a 12-month advanced facilitator training.
Okay, and folks, if you want to find out.
And I have the Web of Light, where we have lots
yes.
of people come.
Okay.
Like, and Monique is coming
yeah.
next month, everybody. Come see Monique. And you can find that on my website. And there I just do a lot of ceremonies and teaching things. Like, right now I'm doing a healing drum series, and I teach vibrational healing, and a lot of other wonderful facilitators that I know from all over the world come in and teach. And those are all online.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's really fun.
Elizabeth, why is it so important that we're mindful of our thoughts, especially right now?
I'm going to tell you this, although I know you know a really good answer, Monique, but for your listeners. So I was shown from my spirit helpers, and I talk about it a lot with my students, in vibrational reality, we're either sending or receiving. So some people feel overwhelmed by the vibrational intensity of the world.
Uh-huh.
But instead of just sort of sitting there and being asleep and letting whatever thoughts pop into our head and set our physical, emotional, spiritual barometer, we can be aware of what we're thinking and how we're creating the stories and the vibrational space around us. The thing I've learned, though, and my spirit helpers, thank you, they've taught me all the best stuff I know, is that a great way to be is to just be always sending love. Always sending love from your heart. It changes the world so powerfully. We have no idea how powerful we are, most of us. That when we're sending a thought form out into the world, it's rippling across vibrational reality. So few people are tuned into this. So if I'm angry at someone, which, you know, I get angry at people and hold resentments, and I'm not any kind of saint, believe me.
None of us are.
But I mean, I have to be super mindful and be checking myself all the time. What story am I creating right now, this moment? What story am I creating about this moment? What story am I creating about the world? Because we are dreaming our own world and our reality into being every moment.
Wow. Yes, we are. And it's really important, folks, to be cognizant of, you know, what you're feeding yourself, cognizant of what you're putting back out there, because that good old saying, what you give out comes back. Yes, it does. And sometimes it can come back 3 times over. Sometimes it's 10 times over. So if you're thinking ill of something
for a long time.
Yes, you can set it up for years, and you wonder, you know, like, my goodness,
why?
I've had bad luck for 30 years. Why? Because it was what you thought 32 years ago that put that energy in place. So it's really important now. Now, in your book, you talk a little bit about a method for discovering magic.
So magic.
Talk to us about magic for a moment and how magic can help us.
So for me, as I've moved more into having what I think of as, we think of it as non-ordinary experience in the West, but a lot of Indigenous people, that's just experience. It's not non-ordinary, it's just experience. Feeling the wind communicating to me, or seeing the river and really feeling it. Like just now, I felt the river a mile away reach out to me and connect with me. I began to speak with her. I've noticed as I go more deeply into this way of living that life becomes radically nonlinear. I start to feel that things, time is not just forward and backward, it's spiral. It's very hard to describe, except my students start to feel it too. And I'm sure as a healer and someone that does this kind of work, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I can describe it is magic, like it's synchronicity, but things start to work on a level beyond synchronicity. I call it metasynchronistic. It's like, how did that just loop back on itself? The only way I can describe it is magic, or like I'll be sitting on my porch and suddenly there's three hummingbirds right in front of my face.
Mm.
Well, that never happened to me before I started doing this kind of work at this level.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like, oh, magic. I just feel like there's no other word for it. It's like, oh, magic. Or suddenly something fixes with somebody I love that's been entrenched for so long, and I'm just sending love and sending love with no expectations, and then all of a sudden shift. And I'm like, oh, magic.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing it with our minds. It's we're being supported by all these other beings. It's just, magic is the only word I can think of to describe it.
Okay, well, that's an excellent word to describe it. I mean, it's magic, and plus you paid attention. You were present in the moment. And I think when we do that, that's when magic really takes hold, if you will, because mm-hmm. we are, you know, definitely paying attention to it. excuse me, I'm sorry. Our time is almost up, but I'd love for you to give us a pearl of wisdom. What is the big takeaway that you would like for our listeners to have today?
My big takeaway, and it's the last chapter of my book, is that love can transform everything. Love is the greatest power in the universe. It underlies all of life, and we can learn it, deepen it, harness it to change the world.
There you go. Short,
it's all about
sweet.
Love. I'm going to sing, Monique. I'm about ready to sing. Love, love, love.
Oh, beautiful.
Love is powerful.
Mm-hmm. It truly is.
That's
my
nugget.
Girl, if I sang that, everybody would just be running and be mass exodus. Because I can't sing, but thank you. Well, you know, we all have our talents. So thank you for sharing with that. And folks, do check out her website, and that's shamanicecotherapy.com. And again, the book, Earth Spirit Dreaming, Shamanic Ecotherapy Practices. You can find it on Amazon. I think you can even find it on her website. Check it out, because if you're looking to heal, this book will help you. If you're looking, I'm just going to put it out there. If you're looking for a distraction, this book will not only distract you, it will help you grow while you're taking care of that distraction energy. So this is definitely some information that is going to help you, the person, help the community, help the world. So if you're one of those people who say, oh, my purpose is to, you know, make the world a better place, get this book, employ some of the practices as you contribute to making the world a better place, because Elizabeth definitely has. So thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Tony.
I honor you.
Pleasure.
Oh, yes, and I honor you for being here. Thank you so much. And thank you to the audience for being with us today as we collectively get over it. And I want everyone to remember that the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. And consider making the masterful choice of discovering shamanic ecotherapy. Abundant blessings, light and love to all. Akape.